Vatican Viewpoint. Insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.
Pope Francis, during his address to the diplomatic corps on Monday, called for dialogue and reconciliation aimed at consolidating the common good in Burundi and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Burundi is experiencing a political crisis after President Pierre Nkurunziza ran for an unconstitutional third term as president, and the Congo is scheduled to have presidential elections later this year. The US Special Envoy for the Great Lakes region of Africa, Thomas Perriello, is scheduled to leave for the region on Thursday, but first visited high-level officials in the Vatican. He later spoke to Charles Collins. In part one of the interview, he spoke about what the Catholic Church can do to help in the region.
Well, this is a moment over really even the next 6 or 8 weeks where you could argue that 10 or 20 years of very, very hard-fought progress towards peace, stability, and justice across the Great Lakes is at risk. But there's also opportunities to make significant steps forward. DRC has the chance this year to witness its first peaceful democratic transition of power in its history, something that's deeply supported by the people of Congo. Burundi, while it has certainly been in a terrible crisis for the last 6 months, we've seen new life breathed into a regional peace process that could still be built on the foundations of 10 or 15 years of peaceful efforts. In both countries, as well as in throughout the region, the Catholic Church has a huge role to play in being a prophetic voice for human rights and the rule of law, as well as a significant source of direct humanitarian support on food, on education, and other matters in regions where we continue to see great human fragility. So I think both on the human dignity side and the reducing human suffering side, the Catholic Church has a huge role to play, and we are certainly eager for the entire global community to be paying more attention to the Great Lakes here over the next couple months.
You mentioned the Catholic Church. Of course, you're here on the Vatican. Today is Wednesday. Before you leave for Africa, what role does the Catholic Church have to play, both as the institutional Holy See role and also the local church on the ground?
So one point has simply been to recognize the great courage that so many Catholic leaders have shown throughout the region in continuing to be a voice for protecting these constitutions that have tremendous popular support, protecting human rights and open citizen space, sometimes at great human risk. In the Burundi case, we're already well into a failing state kind of context. DRC, there's sort of a brewing political showdown. And really trying to walk a line of being prophetic and not partisan. And those lines can get very blurry in a situation where incumbents are trying to change the rules to stay in power. Partly as well is to listen. The Catholic leadership throughout countries have had, are so well integrated into the communities, they tend to have their fingers on the pulse of what's going on in a way that few institutions have. So it's an opportunity to exchange views with the Vatican before heading to the region, but also to bring back the voices that I was hearing throughout November and December in the region from the Congolese people, the Burundian people, Rwandans, and others.
Turning to Burundi in particular, there are now nearly 250,000 refugees from the crisis in neighboring countries. The numbers of internally displaced people is greater than that. There have been insinuations that some of the violence is becoming ethnically laced. Burundi is, of course, next to Rwanda, and the Rwandan genocide is on everyone's minds. Is there a danger of Burundi slipping into a Rwanda-type situation?
There's a very real danger that that could happen, and it's not just Rwanda's own history, but Burundi's history through its own civil war that had great human destruction, both along ethnic but also political divisions. So those are very real possibilities in Burundi, and that's why we appreciate the African Union showing such leadership and contingency planning. But we also want to focus on the potential for a positive outcome. That the Arusha peace agreement that was crafted with the leadership of so many great leaders, including Mandela and others, that really did lay a foundation for moving beyond some of the old ethnic and political divisions. Now you have leaders who are trying to play to those divisions. And so far, we see the people of Burundi rejecting that kind of rhetoric and that kind of effort. But the institutions are fraying. The government is failing to function in many, many places and areas. But we have seen them willing to come to regional peace talks now. So we want to work with that engagement and find opportunities for a peaceful path forward. One of the things that we are certainly concerned about are credible reports that this has taken on more of an ethnic component. But we also want to be clear that even without an ethnic component, extrajudicial killings, torture, massive displacement of populations internally or as refugees are problems even if they don't have an ethnic component. So both of these are important issues to track. And the tremendous fragility we see for the Burundian people is something that leaders across the spectrum in Burundi and the region should see of concern.
You mentioned the government is willing to come to regional peace talks. Do you believe that this is a good faith effort on their part? Are they willing to compromise?
Well, as the good book says, we shall be known by our deeds. And I think on both the government side and the opposition side, just showing up for talks is a positive first step. But the question now is, how committed are people to returning to more in-depth talks and to actually finding a solution and a path forward, including accountability for terrible crimes committed by both sides? We're pleased to see that the government has said that they are in concept committed to gathering in Arusha for another round of talks, but they have set preconditions. So far, the opposition has not set any preconditions for continuing the talks. So we continue to see an asymmetry in how, and commitment to the talks. So we want to focus on the positives and build on that. But I think there is a lot of work to be done to ensure that there's good faith efforts and trust on both sides to move forward.
Turning now to the Congo, you mentioned that this year we're expecting elections, the first time that a peaceful transition could occur in the country. However, there were supposed to be regional elections that were delayed last year, and now the president, Joseph Kabila, has announced a national dialogue ahead of the elections. People think that perhaps these presidential elections might also be delayed. Are we going to see the elections in November?
That's certainly the great hope of Congolese people that I've met across all regions, across all strata of society. There is a deep belief in their own constitution. They believe the people suffered millions and millions of deaths to get to a point that some of these old disputes are behind them. Some people have talked about, you know, the need to follow the tradition of the Sun City Accords or other national dialogues from the past. But what I hear from the Congolese people is we have a constitution for a reason, which is that we wanted to move beyond this idea that every 10 years we needed a tumultuous coming together to decide these things. They have been decided. The people of Congo overwhelmingly supported a constitution that lays out how transitions will happen, that there are clear term limits. Those term limits are unambiguous and unamendable. And there is a strong desire, even within President Kabila's own party, to have a presidential election by the end of this year in order for the Constitution to be protected. But there continues to be so far a lack of political will from particularly the government side for that to proceed. So there's a set of political questions and technical questions about pulling those elections off. And I think the general sentiment among the people of Congo is this is fundamentally a political problem right now about whether the Constitution will hold. And we will continue to work with the government, but also all stakeholders to see that the presidential elections occur.
That was the U.S. Special Envoy for the Great Lakes region of Africa, Thomas Perriello, speaking to Charles Collins. Part two of the interview will air tomorrow.
Vatican Viewpoint. Insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.